Time now for Western Michigan at Work. Each Tuesday evening at this time, the White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan brings you a program about the industries of Western Michigan and the people who work in them. Through these programs, we hope our listeners may become better acquainted with Western Michigan at Work. This evening, we bring you the story of the pipeline that's being built through Western Michigan. Now, here is Dr. Dunbar.
Over in Allegan County, there's a big construction project going on that's a little bit out of the usual for this part of the country. A natural gas pipeline is being constructed southward from Austin Field at Big Rapids, which eventually will lead to Texas. It's part of the Michigan-Wisconsin pipeline, which you may have heard about. The purpose of it is to provide a lead to this exhausted gas field near Big Rapids, which will be used for storing gas during the summer months when the demand is lightest. In the winter, the gas will flow in the opposite direction for consumer use. The pipeline will mean more natural gas for Grand Rapids, Muskegon, and the whole area around there. Construction of this pipeline started April 1st at Big Rapids. Some 90 miles of it has already been completed, and the pipe is now being laid through Allegan County. It's an interesting project, employing about 350 men who are pushing the work forward 7 days a week. The other day I drove out to the little town of Pullman to see this construction work in progress. There are 10 gangs at work, one following the other. In the vanguard is the clearing gang, which cuts the timber and brush on the right-of-way, which is about 100 feet in width, I should judge. Then come the bulldozers to grade the route and make it as level as possible. The fellows who haul the pipe to the spot where it is to be laid and place it in line are called the string gang. The pipe itself is made out of steel and has an inside diameter of 22 inches. It is hauled as close as possible on railroad flat cars and then transported by truck. Now come the giant ditch diggers, huge machines with endless chains of shovels, which pitch out the dirt and pile it neatly alongside the ditch. The depth is sufficient to allow for 30 inches of fill above the pipe. You may be surprised, as I was, to know that the pipe is fastened together before it goes into the ground. Following the diggers come what's called the bending gang. Their job is to bend the pipe so that it follows any curves which is taken by the route followed. It is then placed upon wooden skids by the so-called tacking gang, who also fasten it together with a welding machine. The complete job of welding, which is of course a very important one, is done by a separate gang. Following the welders comes a gang which cleans the pipe and paints it with a priming coat. As they finish their job, along comes another crew who give it a coat of enamel and wrap it in a fiberglass paper. The pipe is now ready to be lowered into the ground by a side boom tractor with huge leather sleeves. The backfill gang is next with bulldozers and filling machines which can get the dirt back into the ditch with amazing rapidity. The rear guard is composed of the cleanup gang to replace fences, clear away any debris, and leave the right-of-way in as good a condition as possible. The distance between the clearing gang in front and the cleanup gang in the rear is sometimes 10 miles, sometimes less. It depends on the nature of the terrain. Highways, that is, paved highways, are crossed by the use of a boring machine, which drills under the highway so traffic is not disrupted. And I saw where the line was being run underneath the Chesapeake and Ohio Railroad by the same method. Larger rivers, like the Grand River and the Kalamazoo River, call for dredging. The pipe is always buried in the river. Peat bogs, which are rather common in the area through which the pipe is now being laid, present some of the worst problems and can slow down the whole process. The men with whom I talked concerning the project, the men on the job, all spoke with a southern accent, although I was told that some Michigan labor is employed. They are mainly from Oklahoma and Texas, and they've all had long experience with pipeline projects. I was told that they receive very good salaries for this kind of work, and that is understandable, because it's highly mechanized, almost all of it involves skilled labor with machines. Well, now this is part of the pipeline project which is being carried out by the Michigan-Wisconsin Pipeline Company, a company organized to build and operate this new line. The total line will be 1,500 miles long when it's completed, and it's going to cost $104 million. It is scheduled to start operation in 1950 and to be put into full use by 1952. A story in Newsweek says that the project is the baby of William G. Woolfolk, a veteran public utilities man now in his 70s. He got his reputation as consulting engineer to the late Samuel Insull. Consolidated Gas, which serves Detroit, Grand Rapids, and Muskegon, is one of the several concerns that are associated with a holding company called the American Light and Traction Company, of which Mr. Woolfolk is chairman of the board. Consolidated Gas, you know, has been buying natural gas from the Panhandle Eastern Pipeline Company since 1935. But it's constantly complained because the quota which it was allowed to have was too low. Well, Woolfolk had to carry on a long fight to get the right to build this new pipeline. For example, in Wisconsin, coal and railroad interests fought natural gas for 3 years. But finally, the Wisconsin legislature legalized the opening of Wisconsin to natural gas. The Michigan legislature last year authorized the use of Austin Field at Big Rapids for gas storage. The Securities and Exchange Commission finally approved the financial setup, which made the building possible about a year ago. Well, this big construction project has made Allegan, temporarily at least, something of a boom town. 30 trailer families have moved onto the fairgrounds, and many other families have rented houses and apartments. Ann Ferris, who was secretary of the Allegan Chamber of Commerce, has worked tirelessly to find accommodations for the newcomers. The paymaster's office, which is also located on the Allegan Fairgrounds in the 4-H building, is equipped with a radio transmitter to facilitate communication between the various crews and Superintendent H.A. Wiley. The work itself, by the way, is being done under contract by the Oklahoma Construction Company. Allegan will be the center of operations for about 3 months, after which headquarters will move southward to Benton Harbor. As a result of this influx, Allegan merchants are doing a land office business this summer. Business in Allegan is really booming. And Miss Ferris of the Chamber of Commerce tells me that the community has been rather impressed with the high type of personnel engaged in the work. The surveys of the route which is followed by this pipeline are first made from the air, and it's finally determined upon by ground survey crews. An attempt is made to run the line so as to interfere just as little as possible with farmers. The owner of the land is paid a certain sum per rod for the right of way through his property, and an additional sum for any damage that may be done. In most cases, an amicable arrangement is worked out. However, in the last analysis, the company can have recourse to the right of eminent domain by the state in obtaining the right of way. This line will form a junction with the one going up into Wisconsin at a point called Milwaukee Junction, located between Crown Point, Indiana, and Rockford, Illinois. The line will go southward into Van Buren County from Allegan County and will hit Berrien County about 6 miles inland from the lake. The pipe itself has to conform with the United States standards, and treated as it is, I am told that it will have an indefinite life. When completed, the new pipeline will mean larger supplies of natural gas for the whole Grand Rapids, Muskegon, Ionia, Big Rapids, and Greenville area. I'll be back in a moment with another word about Western Michigan at Work.
Western Michigan at Work is sponsored by White Sales Corporation of Scotts, Michigan. They are local distributors for the Morse Chain Company. Their stock covers nearly all sizes of industrial sprockets, from number 40 to number 120 roller chain. To illustrate this range, the small size is the same as that used on a motor scooter. The large size is used on the older models of Mack trucks. The White Sales stock also includes a line of small clutches. These are used wherever it is desirable to disconnect a pulley, sheave or sprocket from its source of power. For further information, call White Sales at Scotts. Phone 371. Now back to Dr. Dunbar and Western Michigan at Work.
Well, last Saturday, a lot of Western Michigan was not at work at all. Benches and offices were deserted, while those who usually occupied them were trying their luck fishing. But Western Michigan at Play is served by Western Michigan at Work. A great many people make a living by renting boats or manufacturing them. by making and selling fishing tackle and by producing or growing fish bait. For example, there's Jake DeBruin, who runs a bait house on Southwestage here in Kalamazoo. He's been in the fish bait business since 1923. He used to do quite a bit of fishing himself and caught minnows for his own use. And then a friend started tipping off his friends when minnows were scarce that they might get some from Jake. Well, it got to be quite a business. So Jake quit the trucking outfit that he was running and bought a vacant lot on Southwestage, across from which Axtell Creek runs. He'd catch the minnows in the creek and then use the creek water to keep his tanks filled with fresh water. As time went on, more and more customers came to rely on Jake DeBruin for their bait. I went down there the other day to see him, and I found out that his business is quite an enterprise. He leases small lakes from farmers nowadays and uses them to grow minnows of different kinds. He buys crickets, wigglers, and all sorts of insects from the youngsters. He even has a gang of men who in season snare some of these insects. One man and his wife spend their nights with a flashlight harvesting night crawlers. One week recently, they brought in 16,700 of them. Jake used to grow fish worms at his place on Southwestage, but now he's sort of graduated. He has a fish worm farm near Bedford, where he grows this kind of fish bait. He prides himself on having developed just the kind of fish worm the angler likes best, a reddish, firm breed that fits on the hook just right. They are raised in sterilized soil, if you please, and fed on grain. A new batch develops about every 4 weeks. In the winter, the beds where they are raised are heavily mulched, so plenty are available for ice fishing. Last Friday, Jake had 500 cans, with 100 each, 50,000 fish worms, and he sold practically all of them. He has an insulated storage house, below ground and cooled with running water. The bait house proper is a neat place where Jake sells not only bait, but also tackle of all kinds. He has a big stock of cane poles in another building, and all the other paraphernalia that's needed by the fishermen. Two men and a flock of youngsters have steady jobs with Jake in this bait business. Jake is so busy these days that he doesn't get a chance to go fishing much himself, but he told me yesterday that he's sort of getting the fever to go. Jake's customers sometimes bring back their prize catches, and he has some mighty big fish heads on the front of that bait house. Pretty soon they're going to run that cross city highway in front of Jake's place, and then he'll be right on the corner, and business should boom, what with so many more folks going fishing. With a big grin on his face, he told me yesterday, maybe I can go fishing then. Well, Jake's business isn't a big one. He's a small enterpriser, a small businessman, who started out on a shoestring in a business he started through his own ingenuity. He's made it provide a good living for himself and several of the people he employs. He's just another example of the fact that this land of ours is still a place where there are thousands of opportunities for the fellow who wants to start into business for himself. And that's another story of Western Michigan at Work.
That's the story of the pipeline that's being built through Western Michigan. Next week, we will bring you the story of Beach Products Incorporated. You have been listening to another Tuesday evening program in the series of Western Michigan at Work, presented to you at this time by White Sales Corporation, Scotts, Michigan, who are local distributors for Morse Chain Company.